back to the Christian Life Podcast, where we have good conversation for practical Christian living. Today we're on episode 29, and we're going to be talking about Hurricane Helene. We are your hosts, Michael Brazier and Art Nurnberg. So today I wanted to, spend most of our time talking about Hurricane Helene, its impact here. Right. Because I know it was like 2 weeks ago, but we haven't really met in 3 weeks, something like that. We were out of power, I guess, for 8 days or so.
8 days.
And we didn't have internet for longer than that. I don't know. It was like,
do we still have it? Do we have it yet?
Yeah, some of us have it. So, so we can, you know, do the podcast now. So, but yeah, it was a big, I would say it was a really big event in our area, a huge event, especially in Western North Carolina, but even in Greenville and going further south. So, I thought it would be good if we talked about it and some of the lessons that we learned and some of the thoughts that we had on the topic. So, I guess to start out, maybe give a like super brief timeline, and then I'll give it over to you to kind of just talk about how it impacted the campus and whatnot. So it was, I guess it was Friday when it was super fast.
Yes, it was.
6 a.m. It like really hit us. And then it was 6 a.m., 8 a.m., 9 a.m. I lost power at like my house about 6. I think most people lost it around 6. And then, by noon, it was out of here. Like it was really fast. Like it had rained maybe 3 days prior, like consistently. Right. And so we had some flooding, not a ton of flooding, but, and then, yeah, the winds were really strong. They were 70-ish mile per hour winds. And, but yeah, it looked, especially in the neighborhood, it looked like tons of trees were down, tons and tons of trees.
Right.
pretty much everybody in Greenville County, which is almost, it's 650,000 people in Greenville County. 99% of us were without power.
Right.
So anyways, it was a pretty big impact in the upstate. And then if you go into North Carolina, they had a ton of flooding just from the terrain of the mountains and all that water going down. They got like 15 inches from the actual storm. And that caused a ton of flooding. Like they said, the French Broad was typically 3 feet is like their typical running. It was like up to 30 something feet. I mean, like tons of like those small towns like Lake Lure and Chimney Rock and Swannanoa. I mean, they just were, there is no town anymore.
That's right.
And so anyway, so it really devastated Western North Carolina, but it was about a week or so without power for most everybody in the county. And then, and yeah, people are still struggling with internet outages and whatnot. And, but yeah, Western North Carolina, we've gotten a lot of it back with power, but not all of it. And it will be months, if not years, for the infrastructure to all be basically built back.
Right.
So, I would say it was our first major hurricane that's hit us. In this way, at least that
definitely a unique storm.
Yeah.
It was very unique.
But tell us a little bit like the impacts on campus.
Okay. The, we're very grateful to God for keeping us. I mean, we just have to, we have to give thanks to Him because, we have trees down all around the campus, but none of them hit anything that was important. I mean, and nobody was hurt, which is quite amazing with respect to the timing because, we were looking for it all night of what was going to happen. You remember? And actually, it was a very calm night.
Yeah, it
was. Until about 5 o'clock in the morning, you thought, well, maybe we missed it. Maybe it fell apart and didn't come to us. But when it came suddenly. All of a sudden, it was here. And by the time it was starting to get really bad, there was actually light, daylight. And one of the concerns is that people might be out. They might be out looking around or playing around or doing, you know, just. Yeah. Because it was interesting, you know, in one sense. So, but as it turned out, the we had some close calls, but we didn't have any. We didn't have anybody get really hurt, and that's the grace of God to us. Yeah. And trees that fell away from the buildings instead of towards the buildings. Yeah. And so a lot of damage, but nothing that has to be rebuilt. And so we are grateful to that, again. It's been a long time since we had one of these, since one of these podcast sessions, because we just couldn't do it for weeks.
A week and then another week without internet. Yeah. So it was.
So we're grateful for that. But again, when we say that, we've been thinking about, you know, the sovereignty of God and how we respond to circumstances. And it is important to note that we're grateful that God kept us and protected us, but we are not by that saying that anybody who didn't or had difficulties, it was because God wasn't taking care of them. Mm-hmm. That's very important. We had some people from another church that testified that, you know, the Lord kept them by waking them up, and they moved to one side of the building,
yeah,
only to have a tree cut their house in half. Now they were protected, but they did lose their home. And we don't want to give the impression that he did keep us, but, and we give thanks for that. But those who, there's plenty of damage. It isn't an indication that God didn't care about them. That's always important in our view of life, that when he keeps us and we're conscious that he kept us, we should give thanks. When things go what we might consider wrong, he's still keeping us. He's always keeping us, because being part of the human race, we suffer right along with everybody else. The rain falls on the good, the just and the unjust, but so does disaster. It comes on the just, it comes on the unjust. And so, but we are grateful that that we were so wonderfully kept, and that nobody was hurt, and that we don't have to rebuild buildings, and we're able to get back into school so quickly.
Yeah.
And so we give thanks to God for that.
I know, I think it's one of those things that is a big thought, like in people's minds, like especially like in this circumstance, but natural disasters happen all over the world.
Right. Yeah.
All the time. And you can, I guess, like when you live through a situation, ours was fairly easy, but where perhaps your house is destroyed or people you love lose their lives, it can be really challenging and just like devastating, that whole situation. And I guess it can be tempting to think that, well, that person's house is still there, but mine is not. And like, God blessed them in some way and he kept them.
Right.
He didn't keep me because there's some issue. But I think that's like going back to like what Jesus spoke about, like when they asked about the lame man and he's like, well, did his parents sin? Right. And like what caused him to be lame? But I think it goes back to that big lesson that we have to trust God in those situations.
Right.
And it doesn't make it any easier, the losing of your home.
Yeah.
But yeah, can you like, I guess, speak to that a little bit more and just like give me your thoughts, because I think that's a huge, huge thing, whether it's a storm or just normal life.
I think it's important, and it's for our perspective. We have to keep our balance, and it's easy to lose the balance on that. It is easy to fall into the idea that bad things happen to people because they're bad and good things happen to people because they're good. And that the book of Job just blows that out of the water. That just isn't the way it works out in life. Good people sometimes suffer. Bad people sometimes prosper. This isn't the place where God sorts out judgment. That will happen after a person dies. Right now, he's extending a gospel to them. He is calling them to repent, and he's being kind to people on this earth. This isn't the time primarily of judgment. Judgment's to come. Okay, so the prayer, the Lord's prayer, finishes with keep us from the evil one. It doesn't say keep us from evil, because that's really not going to happen on this earth. We're not going to be kept from evil completely, but we want to be kept from the devil in it. We want to be kept from those things that the devil would do to take advantage of that to knock us off in faith or to hurt the kingdom of God's purpose. So we're asking for that. I think it's interesting when the Lord finishes that long section in Matthew chapter 6 about don't seek for the things the Gentiles are seeking. Then he finishes it by saying this, don't be anxious about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. But he doesn't say no, don't be anxious about tomorrow because it'll take, you know, because everything will be okay. He says today's troubles are enough for today. Just handle the troubles of the day, and that'll be enough. The indication from that is that you're every day you're going to face difficulties and problems, and some of those are going to be small, some of them are going to be major. But that's just part of being in a fallen world. But you want to be kept from the evil one in it. And that's where we don't want to measure the love of God towards us in terms of how much difficulty we run into. And we don't want to try to compare ourselves to anybody else, because he does. Why does he do something for one person? He doesn't do it for the other. We do not know. We just know that he loves us. All right. He proved that at the cross. And he has a wonderful future for us, and we have the chance to glorify him in the circumstance as they actually occur. This is such a rare, it's for us, Greenville doesn't have these kinds of problems. I mean, we just don't have them. In 50 years of being in Greenville, South Carolina, I've never seen anything like that that morning. Winds that heavy. But he allowed it. Why? I mean, actually, the center of the storm went right over top of us. So in Greenville, one side of Greenville was all torn up and the other side wasn't, because the storm, the eye went right through us. And on the one side, it was terrible. And the other side, not so bad.
Yeah.
Same thing up into North Carolina. So does God love the people on the left more than the ones on the right? No, he doesn't. It doesn't matter. It's just, that's just life. Yeah. It's just life. And he's the same God of both, to go both groups. So,
yeah, I think what you said there, like, the love of God is not measured by blessing or hardship. And it's just, God loves you. And
right.
I think that is the building block, the foundational element of it. It's not balancing the scale.
Right.
We live as Christians with the reality that God loves us.
Right.
And that doesn't depend on whether I have a lot of money in my bank account or my house survived the storm or, someone I love didn't die of cancer or any of those kind of terrible tragedies on this side or on that side.
Right.
It's the foundational element that he loves you and and he sent his son to die for you. And evidence. For God's love for us.
Right.
And I think that's...
It's keeping that eternal perspective on
it.
Because actually, we're not here very long.
Yeah.
So the difference between a person who's greatly blessed on this earth and one who struggles a lot and suffers a lot, it looks big in the 70 years we're here. But the Lord loved me and gave himself for me to prepare a place for me where I'm going to live forever. No matter what happens to me here, this is 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And then we got eternity out there. So that perspective just it has to come back to us. And we're grateful when he does protect us. I mean, there's no question. Again, we had one young man who was out in the storm driving right up our driveway.
Yeah.
And one of those big trees, it was a huge tree, came down and hit the truck, but it just grazed it. He didn't, he only lit a second earlier and... he would have gotten crunched.
Yeah.
He would have, it probably would have killed him if it had hit the cab as big as that tree was. But it didn't.
Yeah.
So God kept us. And we just need to give thanks for that. Mm-hmm. But that's not because we're better than somebody else.
Yeah.
It's just because he's good. And in his goodness, he kept us. We always should give thanks for what he does do for us. But not compare ourselves to anything. It's not a comparative thing. If he chooses suffering for us, he chooses, it's for a good purpose. It's always a good purpose. Anyway.
One of the things that I was, there's two things I noticed. One, which isn't so much about, a Christian perspective, but I noticed even the morning that the hurricane went through, is 10, 11 o'clock in my apartment, everybody was outside. And it was no one had power and no one had internet and no one had cell service. Everybody was literally cut off from everybody else.
Yeah.
And all you had was your neighbors. And it was a really interesting eye-opening experience because I met all these people who live on the same street as me, who I have never seen before in my entire life. And I've lived there 16 months. Yeah. And so it was just an interesting experience of we talk a lot about the impact of phones and just modern technology on our lives and how we as Christians should interact with it. But I thought it was an interesting thing when all of that was gone, we were just regular people
right.
on the street looking at the damage of the trees and the power lines and whatnot. And it was like a moment to just like interact with other human beings. And I thought like, wow, in that moment, like it was just, I thought it was impactful about how like these are real people and they have real lives and you never see them.
Right.
But then like, but God loves them. Like as right. Christians, like as a Christian, I don't see them ever, but like God is, he loves them. And some of them are Christians, some of them are not, but his desire is that they would know him.
Right.
And I guess it like just was like a really eye-opening experience. Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
Yeah. Well, I think it's important because it, that's one of the reasons I think he doesn't always protect us. I mean, everybody in Greenville went through the storm. Everybody had the power out.
Yeah.
Everybody is going through exactly the same thing. Well, not exactly, because some people had more damage than other people, but we're going through this together. Why is he allowing that? He's allowing that because it's those kinds of things. It's actually suffering and the experience, the real experiences of everyday life that put Christians and non-Christians in contact on things that really count. Not who won the football game or, you know, what music. But now we're down to the issues that have to do with life and deep things and yeah. important things. And so those circumstances create the opportunity for us to interact about something other than superficial things
yeah.
at a time when people are thinking about something other than superficial yeah. things. So very often we have to, as we're trying to bring the gospel to people, we have to work past their little lives that they're living and they're involved in those lives and they don't really have time to think about it. Mm-hmm. But well, once during that storm, we had time to think.
Yeah, it was a very quiet 1 week, at least without power, because I mean, like there was like, it was really weird because like there was no cell service. Like
right.
you couldn't even try to call somebody. You couldn't right. text anybody. You couldn't go on the internet because there was no Wi-Fi. And like, it was just a very like, it was an interesting experience yeah. for sure.
Yeah.
And then something else that impacted me was the response of the local church.
Amen.
To Amen. Need. And I thought it was like such a good example of what it means to like love one another.
Right.
And I don't know. I was just like really like local organizations, local churches wasn't like all set up and planned, but like yep. people met other people's needs. And I thought
right.
like that is the gospel practically lived out
right
yep. in those situations. So what did, yep. yeah, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that was one of the big, you know, I'm real grateful for all the opportunities that churches had. And again, you see, it's when you get down to what really counts, you see the churches coming together,
yeah.
participating together because they have a common need, and it was serious need. Again, we didn't have it in Greenville. We had damage.
Yeah.
North Carolina, I mean, it's just heartbreaking.
Yes, I mean, they said, like, downtown Asheville just got their water running again. I mean, yeah. that's like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. And you don't even think about that as like water, not like, I don't, it's such a first yeah. world convenience, but it's so baked into yeah. like, and to think about the water being off for 3 weeks.
So many of those people, yeah. yeah. So many people that lived up in the upper parts of the hills, they can't even get to them. Yeah. I mean, they're just making it to them, but it gave the church a chance. And I think that, it has been a tremendous response of the church to what's going on, because truthfully it was Christian people who were there first.
Yeah.
The first people to take care, really take care, were, again, there were local officials, but it was a mess. It was just a mess. And yeah. and church is still participating and going to help those people dig out of it. We had, again, students from the school had a chance to go, but we're not unique in that. I mean, people all over Greenville have been organizing groups to go up, and it's the relief effort just been, it's been very good. And, mm-hmm. and the opportunity then to really talk about the Lord. And, yeah. And I have been grateful to see Samaritan's Purse organizing it.
Yeah.
And the way in which they have been purposely evangelistic in it. Mm-hmm. They're doing this, but they're not they're not failing to also tell people why they are there. Yep. They are there because they want to serve the Lord. So it has been a big opportunity now again.
Yeah. And I think like that in and of itself is like a really big thing, because you can, it's easy to sit in your ivory tower and like tell the world, like, you're all sinners and you need the Lord to save you, or whatever, however you want to spin it. But at its heart, if we are not willing to meet people where they're at, then it's really hard to tell them about the gospel.
Right.
Like, and so using the means of, like, we have this opportunity, like a great opportunity to go practically meet the needs. And then through that opportunity, we can also tell them, like, the reason why, our heart behind it.
Right.
And I think that in and of itself is, like, a good thing that came out of a terrible circumstance. Right. And I think of, like, often, like, in the Psalms, it talks a lot about meeting the needs of the widow and the orphans, and then the foreigners and the destitute, and these people who are ultimately the most vulnerable in a society.
Right.
And in this moment, and I don't think it's, like, necessarily just to those categories, but in ancient times, those were the categories that were most vulnerable. But in this time, the people that lost everything, these towns in Swananoa and Chimney Rock and Lake Lure, they're the most vulnerable among us because they don't have running water. They don't have food. They don't have electricity. They don't have a house. They don't have roads. Like, they have nothing. So they are truly vulnerable in their circumstances. And, but then being like, but meeting those needs, and like the Lord often in the Psalms, it's often portrayed like the righteous, the needs of those people.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I was just thinking about like that in the sense of how, it's just a practical way for us to share the gospel.
Yeah.
So,
And I think there's the other side too, that goes along with it. I've been very encouraged by the number of people that lost everything who were believers and had a chance to testify to what counts and what doesn't count. Yeah. It's amazing how many stories are people who, and a world out there can't exactly ignore them. Because they're not talking in generalities. That was their home. That was their business. This is our livelihood. A number of those places that we're talking about, heavily, the income is around tourist situations.
And
it's
going to
be years before they put it back together again. So what are those families going to do? They weren't extremely wealthy. People that had tourist-oriented businesses that are gone, which will, maybe slowly replace. But for them to testify that this isn't what really matters, the Lord met us this way and he did this, that is tremendous because people have to, in a sense, have to listen to that. They can't they can't pass it off as superficial because they could go through something like that.
Yeah.
And I think that's just, again, it's one of the other opportunities the Lord has given. There was a lot of heartbreak in North Carolina, but there were a lot of believers up there, and they have testified, and I'm grateful for that.
I think it's important, like, just for wrapping up, but, like, that we took this podcast to think about it, because, like you said at the beginning, it is so important that we give thanks.
Right.
Give thanks to the Lord for his protection. Then also give thanks to the Lord, I think, for the display of his church meeting the needs and for his people who testified of his goodness despite loss. And ultimately to his glory, because in the tragedy of this hurricane and this natural disaster, there were moments of like good things that happened because of it.
Amen.
And so anyway, so I think that is, it's important to give testimony to that. Do you have any closing thoughts?
I think that's the big thing, that God uses these things. They're part of life, right? He doesn't send it. I think it's a bad way to look at it. It's just, this is the way the world works because it's a fallen world. And when it happens and he gives the opportunity, it does create the possibility for us to see the hand of God like we did here, because the trees could have fallen other ways. And we could be, again, then we would have had to do something different, but he kept us there to see the church respond.
Yeah.
It gives opportunity for the life of Christ in a person to respond to a real circumstance and get there. And then to give thanks for how he can use enormous loss as an opportunity to have people's attention and to testify. And he uses it, you know, as we're walking in the Spirit in the whole thing.
Yeah.
Amen.
So I think it's a great example, what we went through and how people reacted, how Christians reacted in Greenville. It's a great way of living out the Christian life.
Right.
Like, amen. I was impacted by that even. And so I thought, you should definitely talk about it.
Yeah.
Because I think it's important. And even if it's 2 or 3 weeks past thing, but I would encourage people, like, continue to pray for people in North Carolina, because that is... it will take them a long time to rebuild, especially like, and I think like Samaritan's Purse have a huge impact.
Amen. They have had,
and they'll be meeting those needs for quite a few more months. So yeah, it is an interesting experience, and we're grateful to the Lord for his protection. So
amen.
Anyways,
amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can listen to all of our previous podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And we will see you again next week. And until then, may the Lord keep you, and we will see you then.